Today on CityCast Pittsburgh, did businesses really stop giving out plastic bags after the city banned them? A new study has some answers, and a new documentary looks at the Black birthing experience in Pittsburgh. Plus, it turns out Pittsburghers really love a good prank. It's Tuesday, April 2nd. I'm Mallory Falk, and here's what Pittsburgh's talking about. I'm here with CityCast Sophia Lowe. Hey, Sophia.
Hey, Mallory. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Happy day after April Fool's.
Yes.
I've got to ask, because you mentioned this in our Guide to April episode yesterday, you refused to tell us about whether you'd be pulling any pranks for April Fool's, but kind of hinted that you might. So now that the day is over, will you reveal your hijinks?
Sure. I actually didn't do anything.
Sophia, no, what a letdown.
Well, that's partially because I'm lazy. My excuse is that I'm considering my prank putting everyone a little bit on edge and keeping everyone on their toes.
I'm not a fan of this approach at all.
Sorry. Well, it's okay. We weren't in the office, so at least I wasn't trying to prank you. In my ideal world, my prank would be building an entire obstacle course that my partner would have to go through to get from like the bedroom to the kitchen in the morning. I have done this with a previous roommate.
Well, not that I could have foreseen us ever living together anyway, but this sealed the deal that I will never live with you, Sophia, because this sounds like my worst nightmare.
It was fun. There was like a little tunnel. There were like treats at the end. Like you got something for going through it.
I think I was imagining like you step on the wrong wood plank and something disgusting falls in your hair, kind of like Home Alone style.
No, but I did gather a bunch of plants and built like this fake forest, which I like crouched under and like threw things, just like balled up pieces of like wrapping paper.
Okay.
I was really trying to procrastinate on something in college.
All right. Well, I can maybe get behind this more. It sounds fun and relatively harmless.
Yeah, exactly.
But it turns out, Sophia, that you are not alone in pulling pranks, because I got my hands on this silly study from casino.org, and it put Pittsburgh as the city with the most people participating in April Fools. Apparently, 75% of Pittsburghers have a, quote, positive sentiment for April Fool's Day.
But how many people are actually pulling the pranks?
Unfortunately, they didn't have the exact numbers for that, but their survey found that about 20% of Americans participate in April Fool's hijinks. So I have to guess it's more here in Pittsburgh.
Well, even if we don't have an exact number, I am so happy that people here like April Fool's Day. I could talk about silly little surveys all day, but I guess, Mallory, we should move on to other news. What else have you been seeing?
Well, I actually have an update on an episode we did last fall about Pittsburgh's plastic bag ban.
Mm-hmm.
You might remember this ban went into effect this past October. It's something city council ordered. And the idea was to reduce the amount of plastic bags that are, you know, piling up eternally in landfills, clogging up our drains, leaking microplastics into our soil and our water.
Just, you know, generally destroying the environment.
So this ban went into effect back in October. The city planned to start actually enforcing it in January. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that stores aren't supposed to give out single-use plastic bags anymore. Customers are supposed to bring their own or pay at least 10 cents to buy a paper bag. Sophia, I'm curious if this has had any impact on your life. Like, are you out 10 cents every time you go to the grocery store because you forgot to bring your own bag?
Absolutely not, because I refuse to spend money that I don't have to. There are bags in my partner's car always. I have these like really cute Hello Kitty bags that I just got.
Of course
that
you do.
My cat likes to hop in because she knows that, you know, Hello Kitty is also a cat. And I have my like tote bags all hanging up right before I leave the house. So I'm pretty good about this.
So you're the dream consumer.
Exactly. I already wasn't really using plastic bags that often. I am a little peeved that I have to pay 10 cents for paper bags now, because sometimes I'd like to use them for recycling, or it's just like nice to be able to give somebody something in a bag I don't need back, but whatever. It's fine.
That using those for recycling reminds me of I remember a big concern people voiced was, if we don't have plastic bags, how are we going to pick up the dog poop? So, yeah, some of these bags did serve other purposes besides carting groceries to and from your home.
Yeah, and I know people were also using them as just like to line their smaller trash cans, which I still do. I have a giant pile I've been sitting on and I have not run out yet. So we'll see how long I make it. But what is the update on this news?
So if you remember when we covered this last year, we were a little skeptical about how this ban would get enforced and whether businesses would actually comply.
Yeah, I remember the city was basically asking people to narc on stores if they still had plastic bags. And then the stores would get a warning for their first violation and then a fine for their second one.
Yeah, a $100 fine to be exact.
And then if they violated it again, a higher fine.
Yep. $250.
Wow. Okay. And like, depending on the size of the business, that doesn't seem like a huge deterrent. I mean, there are big chains out here.
Yeah. I mean, $250 is like the cost of one carton of eggs at Giant Eagle.
No.
Excuse my dad joke about our grocery chain. But anyway, this environmental advocacy group, Penn Environment, just released a study looking at businesses' compliance with the ban. That's the update. So now we have at least like a teeny peek into where things stand 5 months in.
So what did they find and how did they measure it? Like, are we doing well?
Yeah, we're doing all right. They randomly popped into 50 businesses throughout Pittsburgh to see if they were following the ordinance. And they found that 41 of them weren't giving out plastic bags anymore, which means about 82% were complying with the ban. And that's pretty decent.
That is a higher percentage than I expected. But 50 businesses in Pittsburgh, that's a pretty small sample size. That is just like one big street.
Yeah. I mean, I saw the Trib report that there are something like 3,000 total businesses in Pittsburgh. So this is just a sliver. I'm not sure if it's truly enough to draw many conclusions. But an advocate with Penn Environment did tell the Trib that he was excited to see overall strong compliance among the businesses that they, you know, randomly dropped in on.
Well, even though it was a small sample, were there any interesting trends or other findings in the study?
Yeah, so the study found that restaurants were less compliant than other businesses. They made up the majority of violators. 7 out of 22 were still using plastic.
I wanna say get your act together, but also, like, things from restaurants are kind of leaky. I would rather have that in a plastic bag than a paper bag, if I'm gonna be honest.
That's true. You don't want all that, like, sauce goo dripping all over you.
No.
So, okay, you know, maybe out of self-interest, you don't mind that they're the least compliant.
Well, yeah, but I don't want the restaurants to get in trouble either, because I want them to, you know, not have fines, stay open. I can get all my delicious food.
Well, so then in that case, Sophia, you might not like one of the three recommendations that Penn Environment gave at the end of the study, which was for the city to specifically focus on restaurants since, you know, they are the main violators. But the other two recommendations included doing a better job educating businesses, both about the existence of the ordinance and how to follow it, and stepping up enforcement. The Trib reported that there's just one person responsible for making sure all of the businesses in the city comply, like one bag czar, which, you know, that's a lot on one person's shoulders.
Is that also that person's full job? Because I imagine if you are trying to, like, enforce this, that would be a full-time job. But I also imagine someone asking what your job is and you responding, oh, like, I track plastic bags? And that's just kind of wild.
Yeah, unclear. I guess on the one hand, it means you get to just randomly drop in on a bunch of restaurants around town. I don't know if you can, like, charge lunch to the City of Pittsburgh card.
Ooh, that's a good perk. That's a good perk. I didn't think of that one.
But yeah, I mean, I saw in some Trib reporting that that a lot of businesses felt like this rollout was confusing, but also that at least as of late February, no businesses had been fined yet. You know, kind of makes a little bit of sense if the city wasn't going to enforce this until January because they wanted to give businesses some time to put this into practice.
Right.
If at first you get a warning, maybe February is too early to kind of see how the enforcement goes.
So then I guess the other piece of this is the paper bags. Are people bringing their own bags, like using paper more? I don't know if that was part of the study at all.
Yeah, so the study didn't track whether stores were charging for paper bags, which, you know, is another part of the ordinance. And back when we talked about this in October, one of the things I learned was that a lot of advocates say charging for paper is really key here because, you know, while paper bags don't cause the kinds of issues on the back end that plastic ones do, Creating them isn't the most environmentally friendly process. So part of the goal is really to get people to use reusable bags, not to just replace all plastic with all paper.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. But I also think that reusable bags take a lot of water to produce. I don't know. I think also part of it is not buying too many reusable bags, which is what I'm trying to do. I bought my Hello Kitty ones. I am not going to buy anymore.
Yes, that was another takeaway, was that, you know, to be a good environmentalist, you do not want to be a giant tote bag collector. Just have your one tried and true tote bag and stick with that one. I think another takeaway is that all of our environmental problems cannot be solved just by taking away single plastic bags. It's just a teeny little start, maybe.
Hey, Pittsburgh, I want to tell you about a real Steel Town hero. Mary Caldwell Dawson was just the coolest. Not only was she the proprietress of that gorgeous Victorian mansion on Apple Street in Homewood, but inside it, she presided over the National Negro Opera Company. She founded guilds for other Black singers all over the nation and was a mentor for fellow opera singers from here to Washington, D.C. And lucky for you, our modern Pittsburgh Opera has a new show celebrating her legacy. Get your tickets now for The Passion of Mary Caldwell Dawson at the Byam Theater through May 5th. Don't be nervous if you're new to opera. The show is in English, is just over an hour long, and features a little dialogue for you to follow along. Tickets start at just $15, and there are all kinds of discounts and special offers for students, teachers, seniors, and veterans. Get your tickets now for the Pittsburgh Opera. That's in our show notes and at pittsburghopera.org.
So our last thing is a news item and an event recommendation. Hey, Pittsburgh newsletter editor Francesca DeBecco, let us know about this film premiere that's happening this Friday. It's at the Kelly Strayhorn Theater in East Liberty, and it's a documentary called Her Dreams. It's about the future of Black birth in Pittsburgh. So this documentary is focusing on the challenges Black women and birthing people face in our city and the racial inequities in our healthcare system, and most importantly, what change needs to happen so people can have better experiences and better birth outcomes.
Yeah, the numbers are pretty stark. In general, the U.S. has a higher maternal mortality rate than a lot of other countries. And then it gets even worse for Black women and babies. So nationally, Black women are at least 3 times more likely to die from pregnancy-related causes, according to the CDC. And then here in Pennsylvania, the infant mortality rate for Black birthing people is twice the state rate.
Ooh, those are some really tough statistics to hear. And I guess that's something this documentary is trying to address, because I spoke with the film's executive producer, Sarita Gordon. She's also a doula, and she founded a doula service called Kangaroo Birthing.
We are looking at, you know, just trying to come up with ways and strategies on how can we best improve the numbers of women that are dying and their babies dying and just giving birth, which it should be a natural thing. It shouldn't be something scary for Black women to think about.
Yeah, I know the film is partly about the importance of doulas like Sarita, and it seems like this premiere is coming at a good time because earlier this year, Pennsylvania actually took steps to expand access to doulas by allowing them to enroll as Medicaid providers.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, the idea is that more people on Medicaid can get support from doulas, and doulas themselves can get paid for that work, reimbursed through Medicaid.
And Mallory, can you walk us through what a doula actually does? Because, like, I have a vague idea, but I know you just gave birth a few months ago and you actually work with doulas. So I'm sure you have a much more intimate knowledge of that process.
Yeah. So a shout out to Marley and Megan from Riverbend Birth, if you're listening. They were super helpful. But yeah, doulas can provide emotional, physical, and educational support throughout the pregnancy, childbirth, and even after, during postpartum. So everything from, you know, helping you come up with a birth plan, a vision for how you want the birth to go, to teaching you comfort measures to help with pain and positions that can help move labor along. They're there with you for support during childbirth, so they can be advocates to help you achieve the kind of birth that you want. Or if things change, if things go awry during labor, they can help explain what's happening, talk you through options, like just ensure you're not in this situation where doctors are doing all of this stuff to your body and you have no idea what's going on and don't feel any sense of agency during this, you know, really vulnerable time.
Yeah, all of that sounds really important and really valuable. Is there anything that doulas do after you give birth?
Yeah, so they can, you know, continue to offer support with things like, you know, helping you breastfeed if that's something you'd like to do. They can even cook meals so that you have something, you know, nice and nutritious to eat during those hazy first days of parenthood when you don't really have the capacity to make food for yourself.
Yeah, I liked how Sarita described just like the overall sentiment about what it means to be a doula.
But I feel like we're just that auntie, that sister friend that helps them guide through something that can be so scary when you find out that you're pregnant.
Yeah. And I mean, I imagine for Sarita, there's an added layer of helping people navigate a system that doesn't always treat them well, that they may have good reason not to trust, since, you know, many of her clients are Black women and birthing people.
Yeah. And she said that one of the other things that she does is go with people to their prenatal appointments, kind of like how you referenced, Mallory, but she specifically talked about racial bias in prenatal care so they can kind of act as a buffer, as she puts it, and I think probably do a better job of advocating for the person who's giving birth.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's the kind of thing that contributes to this not just all sounding like nice services, but actually having like a real proven impact. There are studies that show having a doula reduces risk of maternal death. Babies have better outcomes, like less risk of low birth rate.
Oh, that's really good.
Sophia, I'm curious what Sarita thinks of this, you know, new development here in Pennsylvania that, you know, it just went into effect in February that allows doulas to be Medicaid providers.
She was really excited about it, and she also shared more about her hopes for doulas in the future. She said one of her goals is a doula for every mom, and another thing that she mentioned was pay equity. She pointed out that a lot of the times white doulas are able to charge more for their services and that some private agencies can charge $1,000 or more.
Black doulas, we don't have that privilege because our majority of our community cannot afford $1,000+ addition to medical care costs that they're probably already incurring. So this is like a whole game changer that's going to be elevating our moms, elevating the doulas in this work, and providing better opportunity on both sides from the mom and the doula that's supporting. And it's opening doors for the medical or the hospitals to partner with community doulas like me. So, or community Black doulas that are out there. And that's the change that I didn't see when I first started out, which I was always ignored or disrespected in the birth space. Now I feel it's slowly beginning to change. We're slowly beginning to get, it's not there yet, but it's getting there, you know, so that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah. And I mean, I know the Medicaid piece is a good first step, but some of our lawmakers are pushing for additional changes. Last month, the state's Black Maternal Health Caucus proposed what they're calling a momnibus package.
I feel like more laws should have fun names. I think that would make more people pay attention to them and they sound catchier. It's so much more fun to say. Great branding.
Yeah. Props to whoever packaged this package. So they're pushing for bills that would require health insurance to cover doula services, create a program that provides new parents with essential baby supplies, identifies maternal care deserts, kind of like food deserts, but where there's maternal health care available so that those could receive more investment. You know, things like that. And our own rep, Latasha Mays, is one of the lawmakers who's really pushing for this.
Yeah, so that's all happening on a statewide level, but at the local level, if you want to learn more about the challenges Black birthing people face and some of the solutions, you can check out the documentary Sarita worked on. It's called Her Dreams, A Story of the Future of Black Birth. And again, the premiere's this Friday at the Strayhorn Theater at 5:30. Tickets are $10, and we'll have a link in our show notes. And there are plans in the works for more screenings around Pittsburgh, so you can also check out her website to stay updated when they post more dates for screenings. Sarita's really hoping that these places will be a good chance to start conversations for people to share their own stories and talk about what they'd like to see to make Pittsburgh a better, safer place for Black birthing people.
That's all for today here on CityCast Pittsburgh. A reminder that you can find all of our shows, old and new, on our website. That's pittsburgh.citycast.fm. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. See you then.
You can pry transit out of my cold, dead hands.